Pastor Jamie is the pastor of church in Deltona, and I won't reintroduce everything I've said, but we had come across him and said, we've got to have him come speak to us. And he has done a phenomenal job of ministering the last two nights. Looking forward to what God is going to do today and tonight. So let's just welcome Pastor Jamie once again.
God bless you, sir. Take your liberty.
Thank you, man. Amen. How many of you are ready to have church? Please. Amen. Come on, I said, how many of you are ready to have church today? Praise God. Well, you're in the right place. Amen. I just want to say a couple of things here. First of all, Pastor Tim and Pastor Jan, man, I'm excited to be here. You know something? You have incredible pastors here in this house. I've talked about it in the last couple of nights. I believe that you do, but I hope you understand that tonight. One of the things that I really like about them is not just their passion and vision for the kingdom, which obviously is important, but also their passion for you as a church body. You know they love you. They speak highly of you. They speak well of you. They're proud of you. And I know that you're proud of them. Can you just give it up for your pastor and his wife, man? Thank you. Okay. Praise God. Well, I want to introduce you to a couple of key people, real key. At our church, my right hand is my wife. And she has not been here the last couple of nights, but she's here with me today. Don't I just look better since she's here? Huh? I mean, I feel better. I look better. She dressed me. She helped me today. You know what I'm saying? She's here. How many of you men know what I'm talking about? You gotta have that woman in your life, man. So, sweetheart, would you stand? This is my sweetheart, Michelle, right here. Amen. Praise God. And then I have traveled, and you have met some of our guys already, those of you that have been here, but right here in the front row, all three of my warriors right here, just stand up. This is my beautiful daughter, Kristen. She's my oldest. Amen. And then my youngest is Joshua, right beside her, the two redheads. And then this is my nephew, Colton. And then in the very back, if you look at the guy right there under the clock, that's Armando. That is my son-in-law. He's traveling with us this weekend. So we're glad to have all of them. And then I have a really special treat. I didn't know they were going to be able to come, but my parents actually live not too awful far from here in Keystone Heights. How many of you know where that's at? Keystone Heights, you know. So they live over in Keystone Heights, so my mom and dad are here. Mom and dad, just stand up, wave at us real quick. That's my mom, my dad. Yep, they're here. Amen. Good to have them. They also have some friends with them. Valerie and Nike are here with us today. Thank you for being here, man. We're excited. Praise God. Well, the last couple of nights we've come together, and we have had church. Can somebody say amen? And we're expecting to have church this morning again. Are you with me now? Praise God. So I want to jump right into the Word here today because I want to get where we're going. I believe we're going somewhere. How many know if a preacher don't know where he's going, we're all in trouble. Amen? So I want us to get where we're going, and I want to just share with you today the 23rd Psalm, And I'm just going to read one little, just tiny little verse out of there. It's not my main text, but I want to just kind of talk to you about that. Psalm 23, verse number 4, David said this. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Do you understand what he says here? He says, "Yea, though I walk." He doesn't say, "though I might walk." It may be possible that one day I will walk. He says, "Yea, though I walk." I just want to give you a newsflash this morning, if you don't already know this. When you're serving the Lord, at times, you're going to go through a valley. How many have ever been in a valley? Come on. How many of you in a valley right now? Let's just be honest. Sometimes we're in a valley. But, you know, let me just tell you something about the valley. In the valley, the nutrients of the soil are richer in the valley than it is on the mountaintop. Oh, come on. Because what happens is when it rains, the waters come down the mountain and it washes down that nutrient-rich soil from the mountaintop and it begins to gather in the valley. That's why a lot of times when you see beautiful pictures of landscape that's mountainous in certain regions of the world, it's the valleys that have beautiful flowers that you don't see anywhere else. So I want you to know something today. There's value in your valley. Because in your valley, Nobody wants to be in the valley, am I right? Nobody asks for the valley. Nobody says, Lord, send me to the valley. No, we want the mountaintop. Get me on top of the mountain. I want to see what's happening. I want to know what, I want to get on top of the mountain where I'm blessed. Come on, somebody, are you with me? But watch this. The mountaintop is where God gets blessing to you, but the valley is where God gets blessing through you. Because when you're in the valley and you're in that nutrient-rich soil of the difficulty of life, of the fight, the struggle, the battle of life, it's when you're in there that God begins to work in you and you begin to understand the value of faith and what God has the capacity to bring you through. And not only that, but other people begin to see what God's brought you through. And so now the blessing isn't just coming to you, but now it's going through you. Nobody wants the valley. Everybody wants the mountain. But I'm just telling you, you can't get to the mountain without first going through the valley. And you can never get from one mountaintop to another mountaintop without going through another valley. Come on, are you with me? I just want to help you understand this today. If you're not in a valley, just get ready. One's coming. I mean, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I just want you to know that a valley is on the way. So David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he understood that the hand of God was on his life. And I want you to realize this today, that when the power of God is in your life and you're walking in relationship with God, He's not just with you on the mountain, but He also is with you in the valley. And when you're in the tough places, in the hard places, the difficult places of life, God doesn't walk away from you. He continues to walk with you and stand with you. I want you to understand this today, that the sort of the sum total of the anointing in your life is based on all the valleys that God has brought you through. A lot of times we look at our lives and say, well, I've been blessed with this, I've been blessed with that, I've been blessed here, I've been blessed there. That's great. But your strength normally is not built on the mountain. Your strength is built in the valley. It's when you have to call out to the Lord when nobody else will listen to you. It's when you have to seek after God when nobody else is around you. It's when you have to dig down and get faith when nobody else can help you. It's sometimes when you're all alone and you're by yourself and in the darkness of the night. And some of you have been through some things. You've cried yourself to sleep. You've laid on a wet pillow from the tears that have come out of your eyes because you've been through some things. You've walked through some things. But it's in those moments that you're strengthened, that you're built, that God begins to work in you because God is elevating you. God is building you. I just want you to know something here today, that God didn't set you free so that you could stay where you're at. The whole title of this meeting together is Fresh Outpouring. We're going somewhere. Come on, are you with me? I believe Marion Oaks Assembly of God is going somewhere. I believe your pastor and your leaders here, they're taking this church somewhere. God did not put you here just to take up space on a corner piece of property and pat yourself on the back and say, look at us, look at our building, look what we're doing. No, God put you here to begin to occupy, to take over, to expand, to be a regional church that impacts this region. I just want you to know something today. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe you were going somewhere. I've come here to invest in you because I believe that you're going somewhere. Touch your neighbor right now and tell them you're going somewhere. Just not right now. Stay put. Amen. Several years ago, my wife went to a routine doctor's appointment. She went through the doctor's appointment, had the series of tests that women do, and one of which was a mammogram. And on her mammogram, there came back a little area that they were concerned about. She comes home and she tells me about it. I mean, obviously we're concerned, but she's young. There's no real family history of cancer or anything like that. And we prayed about it and we believed God, but we didn't get anxious or worried about it. We were okay. She ended up having to go back to the doctor about a week or so later, and they end up having to do a biopsy, and the results came back from the biopsy. We found out she had stage 2 breast cancer. So I remember that day well, the events of that day and all that happened. And I remember we brought our kids into our bedroom, and we told them what was going on. We gathered around Mama. We put our hands on her and we prayed God's healing over her body. We stood on the Word of God. You have to understand something. I'm a pastor of a church, and we have a lot of things that are going. I've got a school that we run that has over 600 students that are a part of our school. We've got five churches in the nation of Honduras that we oversee. There's a lot of things that we're involved in, and I'm just telling you this because I just want you to know I do not have time for cancer. The treatment began, and man, it was a long road. It was a hard road. In fact, my wife had to go through chemotherapy, and she lost all of her hair, and just sort of walking that journey, the difficulty of that. My wife's a beautiful woman. You just saw her, and that's tough to walk through that. We had to do 6 weeks of radiation treatment where we live about 45 minutes outside of Orlando, and so we would have to travel every day, every single day, into downtown Orlando for radiation treatment and then turn around every single day for 6 weeks, 5 days a week for 6 weeks. And if you're from that area, you would know this, but when you say Orlando's 45 minutes, that usually is with no traffic, which is never the case. Sometimes it's an hour and a half one way. And so a significant part of our, you know, days every day was spent dealing with this. And after a while, it began to take a toll on us. I'm just going to be, can I just be honest with you? I don't like masks, and I don't like, you know, I just don't like religious stuff, man. You say, well, you're a pastor. Yeah, but I'm into relationship with Jesus. And I just feel like sometimes you got to be real. And so as a pastor, I feel like I'm doing a disservice if I act like I'm all good and there's no problems in my life, because pastors walk through valleys too. I remember walking through that, and man, it was hard and it was difficult and it was a strain. But our church people were so incredible. Pastor, you know what? They got together. They started bringing food to our house, and they were bringing food to the church. And it's like every day I had a truckload of different types of food. We have a multicultural church, and so we had food from all over the Caribbean. We had a bunch of Spanish food. It was crazy. Just all the food that we had and all the stuff. It got so bad. I mean, I say it bad. It was great, but you know, for a guy, too much food is impossible, you know. But there came a time when we finally had to say to the church, listen, yeah, we love you so much, but stop bringing food. We can't, you know, we can't eat all this food. Thank you so much, but don't bring us any more food for right now. They were standing with us. And sometimes when you're walking through things, you need somebody to stand with you. Come on, you know what I'm saying. You need somebody to hold you by the hand and somebody to lead you. And so we had to make a choice in the midst of all that and all the stuff that was going on in our life. We had to make a choice. In the midst of all that, we could get sour. We could get upset. You know, I could have said, Lord, I mean, come on. I'm doing the work of the ministry. I mean, we're touching lives. We're changing people. We're seeing people saved in our services every week. I'm down in Central America several times a year preaching down there, crusades and leading pastors. We're doing all this stuff. God, why me? In other words, I don't deserve this. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing. Why is this happening to me? We could have made that choice, or we could have made a choice to say, God, you know what? You're the same God that was with us when everything was going okay. You were the same God that was with us when we were on top of the mountain. You were the same God that was with us when the church was exploding and we had finances and all those things. And now that we're in the valley, we know that you're the same God in the valley that you were on the mountain. And in this moment, we're going to choose to lock in and join arms with you. And we're not going to give up now. Amen. I'm going to read to you this morning out of Acts chapter 16. If I could get you quickly to stand with me this morning, and we're going to read this together. The Bible says this first word here, but. I want to just key in on that word for a moment. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice and he said, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." So then he called for a light. He ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" I want you to lift up a hand to the Lord right now. Father, right now in this moment, we need you. Holy Ghost, I ask you to invade this room. I thank you today, God, that you're going to take this message, and you are going to extend it, Lord, into a level and into an arena that a man could never do. I thank you, Lord, for breaking the yoke of bondage in this house, every person that's hurting and struggling today, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated here today. I want you to see the context in which this story happens. This is in the 16th chapter of Acts. Not too long before this, of course, Jesus had been crucified, was resurrected from the dead. Jesus was crucified because he challenged the legal religious institute of his day. It wasn't long after that, book of Acts, we see where Stephen is martyred. He's stoned. We also see where James is killed. The apostle James is also martyred for his faith. And so now what happens is Paul and Silas, they were in a city, and a girl who was demon-possessed was following them and calling out to them. And finally, Paul turns around and casts the demon out of her. Well, it upset the leaders, the businessmen of that district, and the reason it did was because this girl was demon-possessed, and she was operating as a fortune teller. And so when the demon was cast out of her, now they saw their income was gone. Isn't that a scary thing? Come on now. That's a scary thing whenever we value the things of the world more than the things of God. Come on. So now they're in prison. And in this climate that we're in, this persecution culture that we're in, these men had already been stoned. These men had already died. They'd already been crucified. And now Paul and Silas are thrown in prison. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that these men would be the next martyrs of the church. They had already crossed the authorities. They were thrown into prison. But the very first word in that verse, go back to that for me if you would, the first part of that verse, the very first word that I want you to understand here is this in verse 25, but. You see, whenever you get yourself in a place when you decide that you are going to praise God in the valley, it interjects a but in your situation. See, but means that there is a change in the order of things. If I say to you, well, listen, I really want to come to your house today. Y'all are smart. It sounds like I'm coming. It sounds like I'm coming. I love you. I want to try your food. Come on, somebody. I want to be there. I want to come to your house. I would love to come to your house today, but it looked like I was coming until I said the word but, and then all of a sudden, that subject changes, right? Whenever you begin to praise the name of Jesus, it brings a change in the situation that you're facing so that that trajectory doesn't continue the way that it is. And I'm talking to some people today that you're in a valley, and some of you that are hurting today, and there's some people in this room today that are struggling and you find yourself in the valley. I want you to know that when you're in the middle of the valley, when you begin to call upon the name of Jesus, that you begin to interject a transition in your life that means that you don't have to continue to go the way that you're going. But God steps in and changes that situation to be different. When I read this story, and I want to again just be really honest with you. These men had been captured. They were locked up in a stockade. They were beaten in the back. They were bloody. They were bruised. They were hurting. They were locked up in stockades. Most likely, we don't know this 100%. But most likely, they were in the type of stockades where you sit, if you sit down and your feet are in front of you and your legs are in front of you and your head. So you're sort of bent over like that and all locked up. And it was at midnight. Now, I don't know about you, but at midnight, I'm sleeping. Come on, how many know what I'm talking about? I get up early in the morning, but at midnight, if I'm up at midnight, something's going on. There's something's not right. So at midnight, when we see these men, we have every reason to believe and every reason to expect that at midnight, they would be complaining. I mean, let's just be honest. Come on. I know I would have a struggle right here if this was me. God, I've been preaching your word. I've been faithful. I'm out in the city. A demon-possessed girl came out. What am I supposed to do? I dealt with it. I handled it the way that I thought that you wanted me to do. And this is what I get? Come on, Eric, let's just be real. But when we see Paul and Silas, very first sentence, at midnight, locked up in stockades, bloodied, bruised, sore, hurt, beaten, they were praying and they were singing songs to God. Can you imagine the faith that these men had to be singing songs to God? Some of us can't even sing songs to God on a Sunday morning. Oh, come on, are you with me? And here they are, locked up in stockades, and they're singing songs to God. I want you to know something right now. There is a key to the victory of your life. And one of the greatest weapons that you have against the enemy is releasing the praise that's inside of you. Because when you begin to praise the name of Jesus, it takes you out of the realm of the natural, and it moves you into the realm of the supernatural. It takes you out of the place where you're handling it with your own hands, and it lays it down at the feet of Jesus and it puts it in the hands of the Almighty. I'm trying to tell somebody in this house today, instead of complaining, instead of crying, instead of fussing, instead of calling all your neighbors and telling them how bad everything is, why don't you try to praise the name of Jesus in the middle of your valley? I wrote this book, and it's available back there in the back. I forgot to say anything about it, but chapter 3 is a whole chapter about the power of praise and how it works and how it unleashes. I've received emails even recently. A sister emailed me recently, and she was struggling. She had wanted to start a business for years. She'd been wanting to start a business, and she was just sort of afraid to do it. She said, you know, Pastor, I read this book, and it just encouraged me. I began to understand the power of praise. I began to praise the Lord over my situation and praise God for the future and what God was going to do. And she started that business, and man, that thing is successful. It's taken off. And I just want you to know something. When you begin to praise the name of Jesus, it taps into something significant. Let me just help you understand something. Complaining will never move you to your next level. Nobody in life ever said, well, I don't like the way they do this. I don't like the way they do that. I don't want to do this. I don't like my house. I don't like this. And all of a sudden God said, you know what, man, I'm just going to just go ahead and promote you. Come on, think about it in the natural. In your workplace, the person that complains the most, the person that's the biggest crybaby, the one that's the biggest whiner, how many of you know they stay at the bottom of the totem pole for their whole career? They don't ever go anywhere, right? But it's a person that can come in and think a little bit different. Come on, now listen, as believers, you got something inside of you the world doesn't have. You've got an anointing in you. The joy of the Lord is your strength. That means you can walk into a situation and you know that it's not permanent. Oh, I hope you're hearing me. I'm preaching a lot better than you're letting on, but that's okay. See, I want you to realize this. Complaining will never move you to your next level, but it will guarantee that you stay in the current level when you complain. The Word tells us to put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That means it's something that I can get a hold of, and I can by my own decision and by my own choice, I can put it on my life even when I don't want to do it. You see, the real praisers aren't the ones that come in and shout and dance on a Sunday morning. Oh, I'm messing with you now. You better just get ready. It's going to get real. I'm just telling you right now. That's not the real praisers. Because see, in a climate like this, we got Brother Nathaniel up here leading us in worship, and Pastor Jan and these musicians and these people. Man, we've been having worship every night. But listen, if you can't worship in an environment like that, there's something wrong with you. I'm just going to tell you. You know, you've got incredible worship here. But that's not the true worshipers. Are not defined by what they do here when it's easy. The true worshipers are defined by what they do out there when it's hard. When you've got all hell breaking loose against you and every devil in hell is coming against you and every situation that you try to put your hands to is falling apart and you don't have any money and people are walking out on you and nobody believes you, but you just decide, I'm going to praise the name of Jesus anyway. I'm going to magnify the name of the Lord anyway. It doesn't matter what comes against me. I'm just going to go on ahead and praise Him anyway. And you may feel like Paul and Silas, locked up in a stockade and beaten in the back and I don't know where I'm going and you're down in the bottom of your valley, but it's in that moment when you begin to lock in and say, God, I'm going to praise You right now. I can't praise You for the circumstance because I don't like it. But God, today, I'm going to praise You for who You are. Can I tell you something today? God doesn't change just because you're hurt, angry, upset, depressed, confused, sick, dying, broke. He is the same God that was with you before, and He'll be the same God that's with you after. Somebody today is going to the other side. I'm just trying to help you understand something in this house. You've got to begin to develop within you a spirit of praise that says, I will praise the name of the Lord. I will magnify the name of Jesus. You see, I teach this to our people. In our church, I teach them. We live right on the I-4 corridor. I-4 is just known as one of the worst interstates in the southeast. It's horrible. Time you get on I-4, you plan on just parking. You know, you're going to. You somewhere it takes 15 minutes, you just double it, and you're getting close. It's terrible. And I teach our people, listen, when you get on I-4, and you get stopped in traffic, and you got somewhere to go, instead of honking your horn, come on, somebody. Guilty. Amen. Instead of acting crazy, instead of, you know, getting all upset, I want you to try something. Next time you get messed up in traffic, all right, I want you to try something. You get locked up in traffic, you ain't got anywhere to go. Instead of honking the horn at the people that don't know how to drive, just lift up a hand and say, Lord, right now, I just want to give You praise right here on I-75. I just want to give You glory right now in the name of Jesus, because I'm going to tell you something. That'll get you a whole lot further than complaining. Well, complaining won't do nothing but frustrate you and make you mad and make things worse. But when you begin to praise the name of the Lord, there's a release in you. Do you know why? Because you were created to praise the Lord. The psalmist says that. For Your glory, we are created. You were created to praise the name of the Lord. That is in you. It's in your DNA. That's why when you praise God, you feel closer to God than you do at any other time, because you're doing what you were created to do. You were doing what you were destined to do. And so when you begin to magnify the name of Jesus, you begin to lift up a hand and praise God, and you begin to exalt the name of Jesus, it connects you with your Creator in a way that nothing absolutely else will. It moves you into a new dimension. One time, David, he found himself in a bad spot. If you remember David, he killed a giant. And he began to work in the courts of Saul. And Saul liked him for a while until he understood how much favor David had on his life. Got a little bit job scared. And all of a sudden, he don't like David so much anymore. He starts chasing David around all over the place. David finds refuge among the enemies, the Philistines. So he's hiding out among the Philistines. He's just hiding out, trying to just stay alive is all he's doing. And in the middle of that, somebody recognized David. They said, hey, wait a minute. Isn't this the same guy that killed our champion, Goliath? Isn't this the same guy that brought him before King Abimelech? They brought him before him. When David went there, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to handle himself, so he did what any rational person would do. He pretended to be crazy. He walked in before the king. He started speaking unintelligibly. He started scratching on the walls. Spit was running down his beard, down his face. I mean, he was acting completely unhinged. King Abimelech looked at him and said, this is the guy who killed our giant? He said, I don't need another crazy person in my kingdom. There's a whole bunch of crazy people. Come on, Pastor. I don't need another crazy person in my church. We got a whole bunch of them. Amen. No. He goes, I don't need another crazy person. He said, get him out of here. So now watch this. David cannot find refuge among his own people because the king wants him dead. The only enemy that he could find refuge among, it was a short-lived stint. And so David now goes into a cave. The cave is called Adullam. And so here's David. He's all by himself. Remember now, God had anointed him. Remember, Samuel the prophet came into his house with his father Jesse, had anointed him to one day be the king of Israel. Now years have passed. It really doesn't look like this is panning out too well. Instead of an anointing, it looked more like a curse. The king doesn't want him. The enemies don't want him. Nobody wants him. So the Bible says that he's in the cave of Adullam. Now watch me here. When you look at the geography of Israel and you see the location of that cave, Adullam, that cave overlooks the valley of Elah. Now, what's significant about that? Elah is the valley where David killed Goliath. So David, who started in the valley, now finds himself right back at the same come on, y'all know what I'm talking. So if y'all were here last night, I was talking about Gilgal. That's circular. Sometimes it feels like you can't win for losing. You take two steps forward, three steps back. So now David is in the cave of Adullam, and he's looking out over the valley of Elah. The valley of Elah. I'm going to move this, Pastor. The valley of Elah was, in the past, it had been a place of victory. It had been a place where great things had happened. It was a place where David found notoriety. It was a place where he found great faith. But now, he's overlooking that same valley, and he realizes he's got nowhere to go. And he has now two countries are after him. His own country, and now the Philistines are after him. And he's in a cave by himself, and all that he can do is look at the place where he had victory in the past. Instead of that being an encouragement to him, I'm sure on one level, it sort of was a skeleton in the closet. It sort of haunted him just a little bit. You ever been a place in your life where you look at things and say, man, I thought I really got past that. I thought I moved past that, and here I am again. Sometimes people with marriage struggles, they say, I thought we were past that. I thought we were over that, and now here we go again. Sometimes with financial problems, you have those issues, and you walk through those things. You say, man, I thought we were past that, but here we are again. Sometimes in life, there's a cycle that begins to develop, but you've got to trust God from one valley to the next valley to the next valley to the next valley. So what happens is David, when he looks over that valley, he begins to recognize that that valley was a place of past victory in his life. Sometimes when you're walking through the difficulty and you're walking through the valley and you're walking through a painful moment, sometimes you have to just stop. Stop focusing on the negative. Stop focusing on the pain. Stop focusing on what might happen. Stop focusing on the hurt. Sometimes you have to begin to think through the history of your life and realize that God has always been with you in the past. Because every time God has brought you out of another valley, it is another sign that God loves you and He'll be with you. If He handled you in that valley, He's going to handle you in this valley. And guess what? There will be another valley that's coming, and the same God that brought you through those is going to bring you through the next one. I want somebody to hear me today. Don't you ever get stuck in a valley and think God has forgotten you or forsaken you. Sometimes you've got to look back over the course of your life and say, wait a minute. You got to shut the devil's mouth. You got to just put your hands over the devil's mouth and say, wait a minute. God brought me through some stuff before. I had some problems before, and God brought me through it. I had some issues before, and God brought me through it. God was with me way back then. I know that God will be with me now, because God establishes a perfect track record in your life. If you did not have a track record of perfection in your life, you would not be here right now, because I can promise you the enemy seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. So if you're alive, that means God has done something in you. You're not dead. When you woke up this morning, when your little eyes peeped open, that was victory in Jesus' name. Because I can tell you right now, The devil didn't want your eyes to open. He didn't want you to breathe another breath. But the Spirit of God has given us life. Jesus said, I've come to bring life and life more abundantly. I'm here today to tell you, you've got to begin to speak life in the middle of the valley, in the middle of the pain, in the middle of the struggle, and begin to praise the name of Jesus. Even when it hurts, when you don't want to, when you don't feel like it, you praise Him anyway. Watch this now. This is what David does. He's in the cave. Psalm 34. Go ahead and put that up. Psalm 34. David wrote this psalm standing in the cave of Adullam, looking over the valley of Elah. He says these words. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will sometimes, His praise will continually be in my mouth. Come, let us praise the name of the Lord. Let us exalt His name together. Now let me ask you a question. Who in the world is David talking to? Think about it. He's in a cave. He's looking over the valley of Elah. He don't have anybody who wants any part of what he's doing. He's looking over that valley. David, my friend, was talking to himself. Well, sometimes you got to talk to yourself. Come on, somebody. Sometimes you got to talk to yourself. I talk to myself all the time. I got this. I'm good. I got it. Praise God. I believe Jesus has got me. I'm not going to fail. Amen. You got to talk to yourself. If you don't believe in you, nobody else will either. Come on. I said, if you don't believe in you, nobody else will either. David talking to himself. He's looking out. And nobody. Everybody that he may see, he knows they want to kill him. There's a price tag on his head. He's looking out over that valley. He don't know what to do. Looking in the cave, he's by himself. He said, you know what? I will bless the Lord at all times, even now. I will. You hear that phrase? I will. Praise is a matter of your will. Come on, do you hear that? That means it's not an emotion. That means when the worship team plays Amazing Grace 37 times and now all of a sudden you feel that you want to worship when the worship sets over. That's not blessing the Lord at all times. That's blessing the Lord sometimes. Oh, I can't get any help in here. Let me try it right here. Y'all don't want to eat. Let me try it right here. I will bless the Lord at all times. It's a matter of your will. It's a matter of your decision. Just like Paul and Silas praised the name of Jesus when they were locked up in stockades and beaten and bloodied and bruised. They didn't want to do it. They didn't feel like doing it, but they said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. And so David, standing in that cave, he just begins to exalt the name of the Lord and says, I will praise the name of the Lord. I will bless the name of the Lord. God was with me when I was in the valley and I fought against the giant. I know that He's with me now. God was with me when I was a shepherd and I had bears that came out and tried to kill me. God was with me and delivered me then. God was with me when I was in the courts of Saul and he wanted me dead. God stayed with me. And right now, God is still with me. I will bless the Lord at all times. And you know what happened? Do you know what happened? As David began to bless the Lord, all of a sudden people started showing up. People started showing up. Guy started showing up. Guy shows up and says, hey, I'm here to serve you. David said, me? Yes. The Lord sent me here to serve you. I want to be one of your men. I want to stand by your side. I'll fight for you all the way to the death. I stand with you. Next thing you know, another man comes. Then a whole family comes. Another group of warriors come. It was disenfranchised people. It was broken people. The Bible says they were bankrupt. They were distraught. Some of them were criminals and some of them were messed up. And people in the natural wouldn't have wanted, but praise God, God can use anybody to do anything. Amen. And so God begins to bring those people. They begin to come into that cave. Now all of a sudden, watch this, this cave that could have been David's demise. This cave that was meant by the devil to destroy him. This cave that was meant to cause him to give up, quit, walk away. I'll never serve God again. That cave, that became the rallying point where God began to draw people that David could have never drawn. It began to entice people to come that never would have had a portion in David's kingdom. What I'm trying to tell you is sometimes God will get you in the valley because there's things that He can bring you in the valley that you can't get on the mountaintop. I want to tell somebody in this house right now that there are things that are happening in your life behind the scenes, things that you can't see, things that you don't know about, and you're resisting the trouble, you're resisting the valley, you're resisting the struggle of your life. But can I tell you something in this house, sweetheart? What's happening is God is ordering the footsteps of the righteous, and God is bringing to your aid people and promise and provision and opportunity. In other words, the Holy Ghost has set you up, and what the devil meant to kill you, God has designed to strengthen you. What looked like it would be your end, hey, come on somebody, it's actually your beginning, because David came full circle. He started out in the valley of Elah, and before he became king, he had to go back and revisit the same valley again. The same God that was with him when he fought Goliath is the same God that was with him when he brought in all the disenfranchised people. I want you to know something today. Praise breaks chains off of your life. Paul and Silas begin to praise the Lord. Pastor, don't get scared. We're almost done. Finally got back to the text. We're there. That's good. Paul and Silas are praising the name of the Lord. But something happened in that valley, in that place that the enemy sought to destroy them. Come on, are you catching the theme here today? The place that looked like this was the end. This was the end of Paul and Silas. The enemy says, oh, here we go. I got him now. Done. I got him in prison. Done. Tomorrow they'll be dead men. Paul and Silas, that was their cave of Adullam. They begin to praise the Lord, singing songs, magnifying the name of Jesus. All the prisoners in there thought they were crazy. Can you believe that? All the prisoners, man, what are these crazy folks doing? They're all beat up, bloodied, and locked up in stockades. They're praising the name. Is something wrong with these people? But you know, the anointing in their life actually moved through them and set other people free too. When you read it, all of a sudden the Bible says the ground began to shake. Come on now, when they begin to praise the name of the Lord, when they begin to exalt the name of the Lord, the ground began to shake. What happened? As they began to praise, an angel of the Lord came in. And he struck him and broke the chains off of them. And not only them, but all the doors of the prison cells began to open up. Now, Paul and Silas and all the prisoners in the prison, they walked out free men. Why? Because somebody had the audacity to praise God in the valley. Whew. I'm looking for some people today who have the audacity to praise God in the valley. I believe the Lord is looking today to set you up. I believe the Lord is looking to bring some things together. I believe the Lord is looking to move you from one place to another. I believe today God's trying to get you out of the valley, but you got to stop complaining because you're not learning anything. Come on now, you're not learning anything. You got to learn the requirements of the first grade before you go to the second grade, because if we promote you to the second grade and you haven't learned the material in the first grade, when you get to the second grade, you're not going to make it. But so what God does is He moves you from one level to the next, but you've got to learn what God's trying to teach you where you're at. And so when you praise Him in the valley, it takes the issues off of you and the struggle off of you, and it puts it into the hands of the Lord, and God can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Ha! When you praise the name of Jesus. My wife was diagnosed, and I brought our kids into the room, as I told you. One of the hardest things I've ever done is giving my kids the news that their mother had cancer. We laid hands on her, and we prayed. Believed God for her healing. The Lord spoke to my heart, said, this is what you need to do. I went, y'all know what post-it notes are? Those little yellow sticky notes? My office hates them. I stick them all over the place. I leave notes for my secretary. You know, I'm stuck there. All the people have to walk around and read posts. I'm crazy with them. And I started writing scriptures on post-it notes. I am the God that healeth thee. By his stripes we are healed. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will put none of the diseases of the Egyptians on you. Come on now. I began to write those scriptures out on post-it notes, and we just put them all over the house. We stuck them everywhere. So when she would get up in the morning and she would look over at the alarm clock, boom, there was a post-it there with the Word of God. Let me tell you something. When you start quoting the Word of God, there's power in the Word. Listen to me. The Word of God does not return void. That doesn't mean a preacher standing from a pulpit. That means sometimes when you speak it. Go to the vanity. There's a scripture there. Walk to the refrigerator, there's a scripture there. Walk out the door, out of our house to leave, there's a scripture there. Everywhere, scripture, scripture, scripture. What were we trying to do? What we were saying is we will praise God in the valley. We're going to praise God in the valley. It's been almost 4 years. Is that right, sweetheart, 4 years? Is it four? Three years? Cancer free. Come on, somebody give the Lord a shout. Come on. Don't you tell me God's not the healer. I'll tell you He is. I'm going to land the plane here. Let me get the worship team. I know I told you different, but I'm just trying to. Worship team, come on right now. Let me just tell you something. Paul and Silas, the Bible tells us something very interesting. It says this miracle took place at the midnight hour. There's significance there. Midnight. Midnight is the closure of one day and the dawning of another day. Last night while you slept, your cell phone automatically changed the date at midnight. It went from the date of yesterday to the date of today. It did it all by itself, and it did it when? At midnight. Midnight always signifies a change of season. You look in the Old Testament, you look at all the things that happened, the plagues of Israel, the final plague that took place, the death angel came through the camp at midnight. It was the dawning of a new day. Israel would no longer be bound, but they would be set free. When you praise the name of Jesus, it pushes you into that segment of time and opportunity that God can change your season. Well, I want you to get this. And I just sense this today. I will be honest with you. I wasn't planning on preaching this message today. But I really felt like the Lord would have me preach this morning. And I believe that in this house, there are some of you that the clock, if you will, of your life right now is 11:59. And you are on the dawn of a new day and a new season and a new opportunity and a new possibility. At 11:59 and 59 seconds, there's a shift in the season. You can't stop it. You can't look at today and say, oh, I just want to live today. Even if it's a great day, maybe it's your birthday, and you want to, I wish I could just sustain and hold on to this day. I love this day. I don't want this day to ever end. I love it. No, you can't. Time moves forward. Why? Because it is an eternal law designated by the Creator. Praise moves the hand of God. He designed it to be that way. It is an eternal law. Oh, come on, somebody, you better get this now. Of the Creator. That's why when David began to praise the name of the Lord in the cave, and it wasn't until he praised the name of the Lord that God began to assemble the army before him. when David was a young man and he stood before Goliath. Remember how that went as he stood before the giant. David gave praise to the Lord before he ever fought him. He said, "The Lord will deliver you into my hands. Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, to defy the armies of the living God?" He's giving praise to God right before the battle. "I will bless the Lord at all times." Some of you are standing toe-to-toe with a 10-foot giant right now. "I will bless the Lord." Some of you are in a valley right now, a financial disparity and confusion. "I will bless the Lord at all times." Some of you are going through some struggles in your marriage and relationships and your life, and it's 11:59, and you can't hold on to this day forever, and you can't stay here forever, because if you stay here, it's going to kill you. But you've got to get out of the valley. The surefire way to get out of the valley is to bless the name of Jesus. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth." I'm here to tell you today, it is the midnight hour. Some of you are moving out of that valley today. In Jesus' name, I want everybody in this house to stand. Just give me just a couple of minutes. I promise we're about to go. Just stand with me just for a moment. Worship team, come on, I want you to sing this one time. Would you lift your hands right now, church?